What do you really believe about Jesus? I mean, think about it. What do you really know about Jesus? Is it just what people have told you? Maybe you saw it in a movie. But what about the authorized biography? Do you know who Jesus really is, according to Scripture? That's today.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip launches his series, Jesus Unfiltered, with Volume 1, Believe. So let me ask you, if you had to explain Jesus to someone, what would you say? I mean, believe it or not, there's lots of people who have never even heard of Jesus. So if you were put on the spot, what comes to mind? Well, in this series, Chip's going to go directly to the source to answer that question. He's in the Bible, exploring the life of Jesus through the Gospel of John, unfiltered and uncut. So let's jump in and join Chip now for his message from John chapter 1.
I'd like to ask you four really important questions as we get started. Question number one, who is Jesus? Question number two is, who is Jesus to you? And then maybe behind that, why do you believe that? Whoever he is in your mind, why do you believe that's true? And then finally, what difference does that make? I mean, any real difference in your life, in the way you live, your hope, your dreams? How you answer those four questions really will determine the quality of your life on this earth and the future of your life after you die. Regardless of your belief system or your background, I can tell you that the most influential person that has ever lived on the face of the earth, that have ever walked on this planet, is Jesus Christ. And whether he's just the great prophet who's mentioned actually more time in the Quran than Muhammad, or whether he's the divine ideal of the new age, or whether he's a miracle worker, or just a great moral teacher, those are some perspectives of Jesus. Or whether he's the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the founder of Christianity, here's what I will tell you. Regardless of where people come from, on all the spectrum of who they think Jesus is, his life and his teaching is the center of more than just debate and controversy and ardent devotion. It's the center of human history. Every time you write a date down, you testify with all the world that the history of mankind is BC and AD. And here's what I learned. About 82%, not outside the church, but those of us in the church, 82% of all of us Christians only read the Bible, at least nationally in America, when we come to church. So what I know is that for most Christians, our view of who Jesus is primarily what someone tells us, or what we heard, or what our family said, or what we heard on the radio, or what some book tells us about Jesus. But here's the thing. Most people, even followers of Christ, have not personally said, for me, I'm going to look at the evidence and I'm going to examine the research and the original New Testament documents to find out who he is to me, why I believe that, and what difference does it make. And so that's what we're going to do on our journey. And we're in for a ride, and it's going to be great. Because I will tell you that when you discover who he really is, how much he actually cares about you, and how relational and real he wants to be in your life on a daily basis, it will make a huge difference. So are you ready to roll? There's some critical questions as we begin to examine not what other people say, not what commentators say, not what church says, but this is the authorized biography, not the culture. This is the firsthand eyewitness documents. This is the authorized biography of Jesus Christ. So why study the book? Well, I basically said, because you owe it to yourself. When I was a basketball coach and a teacher, I would do basketball and coach by day, and then we'd go up on a college campus and I would share Christ, play a little pickup ball, and I admit that I sort of manipulated with what I'm about to tell you, but it worked. And so I'd be playing ball with these guys, and you know, afterwards we'd be all sweaty, sitting down and say, "Hey, have you ever examined what the New Testament says about Jesus Christ?" I mean, these are college guys. No. And you know, once I got to know them a little bit, I say, "So you mean to tell me you're here getting a higher education and you're studying philosophy and mathematics and computer science, and the most important, most influential person in the entire world, you're going to just take other people's opinion? You know, kind of what you heard at church, or what you heard on TV, or what some guy said, or what your parents even said? You've never examined the documents for yourself?" You know, ha, 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 ha. And they would go, "No." I said, "What do you want to?" And you know what? I didn't preach at him. I didn't tell him anything. So we just read chapter one, and I asked a few questions. We talked about it. Next week, we got together. We played hoops. We read chapter two. Next week, we played hoops. We read chapter three. Next week, we read chapter four. I cannot tell you the amazing things that happened in those guys' lives. And I never told them. They said, "You ought to do this," or "You should do this," or I didn't even do a lot of explaining. We just read it. I said, "What do you think it means?" Have you ever done that? You are in for the ride of your life. And so that's why we're going to dig in. Second is, got to ask, why was it initially written? Two reasons. Externally, it's 90 AD. There's only one apostle left. It's John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they're called the synoptics. They've already been written. The story about the genealogy of, you know, his life, Matthew, the Jewish side of Luke, Mark is written to the Romans. It's all done. We know the story of Mary and Joseph. We know the parables. We know his teachings. But now, fast forward 50 years, almost 60 years. The last living apostle, everyone else has been martyred. He's about 90 years old. And then here's what's happening externally. Mysticism and materialism is creeping into the church. Something called Gnosticism. The idea that everything is these higher emanations and angels and sort of this real spiritual mystical side, but the reality of Christ, the resurrection, who is he? It's all beginning to infiltrate the church. And so John will give us 93% new material. The Gospel of John has 93% material that's not in the other three Gospels. Writing from this perspective to this need of this church that's multiplied, and there's thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands of believers going all over the world, and what they need to hear clearly now is, who is Jesus? Where did he really come from? What did he really teach? And that's the Gospel of John. And what he's going to talk about is, unlike any of the Gospels, from chapter 2 to chapter 12, he's going to give seven specific signs. A sign is a miracle. Supernatural, amazing things that happen that validated in space-time history who Jesus is and was. And then there's seven specific interviews with people. So you can see, so what was Jesus like to really religious people or people that really blew it? So you can exactly get to know him. And then he gets to the end of the book and he says, "Do you want to know why I wrote this? Here's why I wrote it." Chapter 20, verse 30. "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book." In other words, this is just a sample. Man, he did a bunch of stuff. Now, here's the purpose. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." If you have your own Bible or in your little one that I just gave you, circle the word signs, circle the word believe, and circle the word life. And that's the theme of this book. He said, "I want you to know, I want you to check out, there are signs, there's specific things you can know about." And what's a sign do? It points, right? A yield sign or an arrow that goes one way, it points. It's pointing to who Jesus really is. And the signs are so that you would believe. And in John's vocabulary, believe is not I intellectually agree with or just comprehend. The word believe is used 98 times in this gospel. And believe means to understand, relationally connect, commit, entrust, follow, develop deep relationship, and be transformed. And that's the word life. And the word life here isn't bio. It's not like animal life or plant life. It's zoe. We get our word zoology. But zoe is this eternal life, this relational life. In fact, in chapter 17, he'll explain exactly what this kind of life that happens from belief is. It's that you might know him, the Father, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. It's this supernatural relational thing that happens, God visiting the planet, living this life, offering forgiveness, then coming to live inside a mortal human being transformationally for today, but then as you die, translated to ever and ever and ever. That's why he wrote it. So what are the parallels today? Externally, we live in a day that's characterized by pluralism, which basically means there is no one right or wrong. Every opinion, every truth claim is equal. And that's beginning to infiltrate the life of the church. The second is what I just call spiritual erosion. You know what? Every season of the church has its ups and downs. Our season of the church, most people are biblically illiterate. Most people are taking other people's words for it. We're seeing some real drift. Teaching and doctrine of Jesus that's been solid for 2,000 years is drifting inside the church. And the average believer is not having the kind of dynamic relationship that God wants, so that's why we're going to study it. And then the final question is, well, how are we going to get our arms around this? The book of John, written in the first century, revelation is delivered in AD 90 to a specific group, okay? And there was a historical context. It's written to what's going on in the world then. And guess what? The author has an intent. I mean, this isn't just kind of mystical little words. The author has an intent that you would read these signs, see these interviews, and that you would believe, and because you believe, you would experience life, supernatural life. And it's revelation. It comes from God. The Spirit of God is given. Now, our job is to take the timeless principle of that same truth. And we're not going to get truth delivered. We need to discern the truth. And so what we have here is they had a historical context. Well, so do we. So what's this truth got to do with our world? The author's intent is exactly the same. That we might believe, that we could experience God's power. And then finally, theirs was revelation. It came from God. Ours is what we want. We've got the truth. It's illumination. The word illuminate, does that ring a bell? Like light? It means the lights come on. It means that instead of like just a few people or pastors or you hear someone speak and you think, oh, wow, that really makes sense. It's like you begin to read the Bible and it goes, whoa, I get it. God speaks clearly, personally, and powerfully to me. That's the journey we're going to go on. I hope you're asking, how? How could that really happen in my life? I'm glad you asked. Were you asking that maybe? Okay, turn the page. Are you ready? We're not only going to learn what the Gospel of John says and teaches, we're going to learn how to study it for ourselves.
You're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram, and Chip will be right back to finish his message. Quickly, though, we want you to know that we have a great way for you to access all of the teaching here at Living on the Edge. With the Chip Ingram app, you can access daily programs, Chip's message notes, and much more. Well, now let's get back to today's message.
You're going to see there's about five specific things you can do. They're very, very simple, and they're revolutionary. Number one, ask three questions whenever you study God's Word. That's the number one thing first. Ask these three questions. Question number one you want to say is, just what does it say? And it's observation, right? I mean, just what does it say? I mean, not, I don't rocket science, not like, ooh, doo, doo, doo. I mean, just what's it say? I read it. It's talking about this. Second, what's it mean? That's interpretation. Okay, he said this, but what he meant by that is, so you want to get there. The third question you ask is, what does it mean to me? That's application. And so as you study the Bible, it's so simple. I've been doing this for over 30 years, and you get better and better and better. It gets easier, easier, and easier. But you just say, okay, I read this. What does it say? As I look into it, study it a bit, what does it mean? I ponder and reflect, and I'm open to the Lord, the Holy Spirit. What's it mean to me? He'll speak to you and tell you. And before you leave today, you'll actually experience and see how it works. The second thing that you do is not just ask those three questions, but read the passage repeatedly to get the big picture or the general idea. It's just like anything. I mean, you got to read it over and over in order to let it sink in so you just get the big idea. Personally, I often, when I'm going to say I'm going to read chapter 1 of John, I'll read it as fast as I can. I read it as fast as I can, just what's it about? Okay. You can talk about the beginning, John the Baptist, something about the first disciples, got it. Then I read it again, slower and out loud, because now my eyes are seeing the text, I'm hearing the text, I read it out loud. Then I'll read it a third time, and I'll just read it slowly, and I'll ponder and begin to, you know, what's going on here? Kind of talks about creation, talks about Jesus, the Word becomes flesh. Okay, this John the Baptist, he keeps saying this word testimony, testimony, delivered. Okay, you know, there's something here. And so I start making a few observations. Here's what I like to do in honor of God's Word. The first section is one of the most dynamic in all of Scripture. It's really, really powerful. So, for the first 18 verses, why don't you stand with me and follow along as I read the book of John. We're going to have a few different translations, just sort of go with the flow, right? And before I read, here's what you got to get. Imagine this. Imagine yourself, because if you don't get this down clear, you'll never get what God wants to say. Imagine yourself. It's 90 AD. You came to Christ about 20 years ago. Your kids have come to Christ. There's been persecution and it's happened like crazy. There's tens of thousands of Christians everywhere. And then these false teachers are coming through and they say, Jesus didn't really come. He just came as a spirit. And there's all this stuff happening and you're getting confused. And then all of a sudden, the old man, the apostle of love, John, he's written, the last living apostle, and it's being passed around and word for word, carefully recorded and orally memorized by all 80% of the church that were slaves, and you're hearing this in the midst of your confusion. You got it? Now you are. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. Or literally, some of your translations, did not overcome it. He introduces a battle, light and darkness. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light. Why? So that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light, or the real light that gives light to every man, was coming into the world. He, the true light, was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, the Jews, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right or authority to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John the Baptist testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. From the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. Why? For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No man has ever seen God, fullness in his face, in his glory. But God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Literally, the last word is exegete. Jesus exegeted the Father. The word exegete means to explain. So when later in the book, Jesus will say, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. John is introducing at the very beginning. You really want to know what God is like? Jesus, his life, his speaking, how he treats people, will tell you exactly how God thinks, exactly how God feels, and exactly what God is like.
Chip will be back in just a minute. But if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from Believe, Volume 1 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. In this series, Chip's taking an in-depth look at Jesus, walking us through the Gospel of John, the authorized biography of Jesus, if you will. Each of the Gospels has a specific purpose, and in John we see his focus on the Lordship of Christ, proofs that Jesus is the Son of God. Closer to home, how Jesus wants to be your Savior, starting right where you're at today. Maybe listening more than once is the key to mastering the truths in these passages of John. Now, to help you do that, the audio resources are discounted and Chip's message notes are free. You can use them to dig into the scripture passages, follow Chip's outline, and take notes as you listen. For complete details on the Believe discounts and Chip's free message notes, give us a call at 1-888-333-6003 or visit us online at livingontheedge.org. Well, Chip, as we get the series started, you created kind of a companion resource to go with it. Would you tell us about that?
I'll be right back in just a minute. And you know, as we study the first several chapters of the book of John, what's being challenged here is what we believe. I mean, Jesus has come to explain the Father, and yet the culture, the world, my flesh, the enemy, is constantly bombarding my mind and my heart with lies. And so I went back through, and I take the key truth out of each chapter. And so we call these truth cards. Let me give you an example. The lie says, there are many paths to God, and no one really knows what God is like. And you put a stop sign on the bottom of that, and then I flip that card over, and right there in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time, but Jesus, he has explained him. Literally, the word is, he exegeted him, he explained him, full of truth and grace. What I want you to know is that you can quench the lies and fill your mind with God's truth in a way that literally is transformational. And so what we would love to do is put these in your hands so you can just review them. I find doing it at night before I go to bed, not trying even to memorize, just pondering and thinking and doing three or four or five cards. You do a few of those before you go to bed. It goes into your subconscious mind. It's amazing how your mind is renewed, because what do we all know? What did Jesus promise in John chapter 8? You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I hope you order a set of these cards for you and maybe someone you love as well.
Thanks, Chip. Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you go to our website, livingontheedge.org. They're a set of 21 cards, like the ones Chip uses. Each card has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003 or order online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with his application.
As we wrap up today's broadcast, I just want to remind you that when you open the Bible, you can understand it. The Spirit of God will teach you exactly what it says. Now, you need to ask these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? And what does it mean to me? Now, this is one of those times where, literally, if you'll go on the journey with me today, read the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John, and just ask that question and read it through two or three times slowly. And here's what I'm going to tell you. You're going to begin to understand what God wants to say to you and who exactly Jesus is. Second, go to the website, livingontheedge.org, download the notes. They're absolutely free. There's an outline. I have these questions. There's a format there where you can learn to study the Bible for yourself. I'm going to tell you this. There's so many people that are basing their life or think they're basing their life on a Jesus that doesn't really exist. He's the Jesus in a Bible storybook when you were a kid. He's the Jesus of a movie. He's the Jesus that your dad or mom told you he was like. You need to know the real Jesus. He's the one that is the truth, the life, and the way. He's the one that promises you'll know the truth and it'll set you free as you learn to study the scriptures for yourself. Go on this journey with me.
You know, a great way to stay engaged and connected to Chip and Living on the Edge is with the Chip Ingram app. You'll get free access to all of Chip's recent messages, his message notes, and much more. And not only that, but it couldn't be easier to call or email directly from the app. Well, in our next broadcast, Chip continues his series, Jesus Unfiltered, so be sure to make plans to join us then. For everyone here, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.